Remix Thursday night here on Cold Dark Fire Radio. Let's get my co-host in here, Matthew. Dude, it's always, always an adventure when we start our show. I don't know what it is. I feel like DJ Scribbles over here. I'm always listening. Sounds up and
like,
hey, what's going on, Rob? Thursday night.
What's going on, man?
Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Back at it. How are you, bud?
I'm doing good, man. Yourself? I was wondering. I'm like, well, how come he gets a remix on his intro music, but I don't? That's crap, but okay.
I didn't even do it.
We'll run with that. So since you gave yourself a remix on the intro music, does that mean we're not going to be calling anybody on the air tonight? No ringing on the air, huh?
I'm hoping not, dude. I'm hoping not. At least they don't give up, like, you've dialed phone number 307, you know, something like that, you know, so we're giving everybody...
Well, yeah, man, it's awesome, man. Week after week, being back on the air with you, man, it's an honor. It's been a great week, but some crazy stuff this week, man. I don't know if you caught the Ultimate Fighter, man, but Uriah Hall just looks straight nasty. I just don't know. I don't know how anybody's beating that guy. So we'll see what happens this Saturday on the tough finale. But man, that guy's amazing to watch. But
I don't know how anybody beats him, like. You know, Chael Sonnen said it perfectly, that he is a contender in the division for the title. And that's no joke, because I agree with that. And that's the worst part. This kid's not even out of the tough house yet. And he's already, I mean, he looks legit. But, you know, we'll have to see on Saturday night. I mean, you know, it could end with one punch, and he could be laying on the mat, you know, on his back, just like he sent a lot of other dudes there. So we'll see, you know.
True thing, man. Listen, let's start off. Let's give our shout out to our sponsors. We actually got a new sponsor this week, man, and super proud about that. DracoSports.com has jumped on board with us here, and we're proud to welcome them. We want to say thank you very much. Draco's been a sponsor of MMA Madhouse for a while now and decided to go ahead and jump on board with us, too. So we appreciate that very much, Draco Sports. Check them out. The current website's currently having a bit of a facelift. They're working on it over there, so currently under construction, but. Head on over there, check them out, follow them on Twitter, at Draco Sports, and then look them up on Facebook, Draco Sports as well. So we want to thank them for jumping on boards, but also you know, our other sponsors, Crossroader Clothing, Game Changer Clothing, and ProAmBelts.com. Thank you guys very much. Also GatorMMA.com, thank you guys for everything you're doing. And our friends and affiliates over at FutureFighters.com, man, check them out. Each one of them. Future Fighters, a real quick note, they actually put out their first magazine this week and have a nice big half-page ad of MMA Madhouse and Full Guard Fight Radio in there, so we definitely appreciate that. And they're doing really great things for the kids, man. And as you know, as any regular listeners know, if we have listeners out there, you guys know that I'm passionate about the kids, and I love the future generation and what they're bringing to the table right now. So, you know, I support them all the way.
Let me ask you this. Is it something we're doing correctly, or is it something that Carl and Skippy are doing correctly, that we get these people still jumping on board, wanting to be a part of us? I feel like it's just two knuckleheads talking MMA on Thursday night. we got some followers, and I really appreciate that, man. It's a lot of fun. It's a good
absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely, man. It's awesome. I feel like we sit here and we talk and we interview some cool fighters week after week, and lots of cool fighters, you know, whether it's local guys I know, or whether it's guys from around the country, guys and women. I must correct myself. No disrespect to the women. I love women's MMA. But yeah, whether it's wherever they're from, you know, I kind of feel like each week it's just kind of us sitting here talking. Maybe Skippy, maybe Carl listening, maybe a couple people around here listening. But it does seem to be that maybe we're doing something good here. So I appreciate being a part of it, man, and it's fun week after week. Listen, before we get going, I just had some awesome thing I came across today. I'm talking to Diana Ramirez out in Texas, the mother of Izzy Ramirez, a nice, really awesome young kid that we've had on the show before. And I had known a little bit about a personal loss they suffered a few months back and had expressed my condolences and stuff. But she told me today about this really awesome story. Of the circumstances of that loss. It was It was her father. Was sick and was old, and I'll read exactly to her. I do have her permission for anyone listening. I'm not giving out personal information here. I talked with Diana earlier today, a real nice lady, and I have her permission to read this story on the air, and I'll do it quickly because we're going to get into a interview here in a few minutes with Matt Gary from the All Sports Arena. But basically, this is what she told to me. She said, and this is it's her speaking in the first person. I was in the room with my dad. He asked me how Izzy did at the tournament. I told him that Izzy wasn't going to be going to the tournament, and he asked me why. Izzy told his grandpa, because you're sick, and I don't want to leave you alone. His grandpa picked up his fist and told him, I'm a fighter, and you're a fighter. Don't forget that. So Izzy turned and looked at me and his dad and said, Mom, Dad, we have to go to this tournament. We ran all over to get him ready, and it was still an hour drive from them for to get him to where the tournament was going to be held at. She says here, so somehow they made it to the tournament. They got there minutes before they were closing down weigh-ins. He had a pretty stacked division that day, ran through his division, won first place in the division, and was able to make it back to his grandfather's bedside, told his grandpa how he did, and minutes later his grandpa passed away. I read that and kind of just fell to the floor, man. That is such a great story. An awesome story of heart, of perseverance, and of the extreme great will of an awesome young kid. So I had to share that. I asked her, I said, I have to share this on the radio. This is great. Do you mind? And she said, absolutely not. So just an awesome thing to read, man. It's just, whether it's related to sports or not, I have this strong opinion that sports fuel the heart, and sports can help carry on when maybe other things can't. And I think that's a great story of a great relationship between a grandfather and a grandson, and that grandfather's will and perseverance and strength to hold out till that grandson got back to his bedside before he went on to leave this earth. So thought that was a great thing, man.
Yeah, that is a great thing. I didn't hear that. That's the first time I had a chance to hear that. We've interviewed Izzy a couple times. I've had a chance to interview Izzy a couple times, and he's a man of few words. He's definitely legit in his fighting, and I think I think that shows a kind of bond that a grandfather and a grandson have. And I think granddad would have felt comfortable being able to leave and say that he's all right, he's in a good place, he's a good kid, and he's done all right. So that's very heartwarming. And I appreciate you and his mom and Izzy sharing that story with us. It's great.
Yeah, absolutely, man, absolutely. As I mentioned before, we're going to start off the night. We got an awesome night tonight. I mean, we say this every week. Every week we got a stacked show, but every week it's true, man. We're able to put together some great interviews, and Carl, man, the madman, is able to put together some awesome interviews for us, too. He hooks it up. Tonight, actually, we're going to be starting a long-term thing here. We're going to be featuring, we're going to start doing like probably about a segment per week here for the coming weeks, and interviewing some great XFC fighters. Man, the XFC is one of the top promotions in the world, and expanding rapidly, probably the fastest-growing promotion in the world. And they're just awesome people. I've kind of been in association with TJ Alcock for a while, and just a great guy, great team over there. Do want to say, us here at MMA Madhouse and Full Guard Fight Radio, we do wish the best for John Prisco, man. He had some health issues as of late, but I know he's home and he's recovering, and we just wish him the best. He's a great guy. He runs a great promotion. Guy we've had on the show before, and would love to have him back on anytime, man. So, John, we wish you the best from Madhouse, and we'll look forward to talking to you again sometime soon, brother. But as for tonight, we're gonna have Shamar Bailey, a great young fighter from who's fighting in the XFC now, been around, fought a bunch of different places, and now he's calling the XFC home, which I'm sure as a fighter probably doesn't get any better than that. So XFC is a great promotion, does great things for all their fighters. So should be awesome, man.
I'm pumped because I had a chance to talk to Shamar a couple times in the past. In my previous life, Shamar's from Indiana, and I worked with someone in the past from Indiana, and you know, we had an opportunity to be, you know, connected with Shamar. Shamar's a great dude. He's real. He's very focused. He's very driven, and you know, he's a good interview. So I'm looking forward to talking to him again. So I'm definitely excited about that. We got some other great interviews again, and Carl just cream of the crop. That guy.
Yeah, absolutely, and not to overlook our final interview of the evening. We're going to have Amber, and I don't want to mispronounce her name. Amber Stotzenberger, is as far as I understand it, great young fighter. Got a couple of fights lined up here, and we'll talk to her about those. Talk to her about, she got a real nice looking amateur record, and so far a pretty darn good looking pro record. So great things happening for her too. But I know we're going to be jumping in here real soon with Matt Gary. And we'll get going with him. Just a background on Matt Gary. He's the owner of the All Sports Arena here in Port Richey, Florida. And he's actually getting ready. The All Sports Arena, as the name says, they'll host any and all sports there are. It doesn't matter. They call hockey's kind of their home sport. They do hockey stuff day in and day out for kids, grown-ups all throughout the area. And they hosted back in February American Battle Championships fight, and it was a phenomenal night of fights, some of the best fights I've seen live. And this Saturday they're actually going to be hosting an event under their own name, the ASA MMA Fight Night, so it should be a great night of fights, a lot of young fighters from the area. It's going to be a great night for families and friends of these guys to come out and watch their family members, their best friends that go to war, man. So it's going to be a great night, and we look forward to talking to Matt here within the next minute or so. And I think we got him ready to go. Matt, are you there, brother? One second. We're getting him ready to go here. But if you want more information about that, go to all-sportsarena.com. I can tell you a little bit more about that. Also, MMAMadhouse.com. I do have an article out about with all the info about it and where to go to contact everything about it. So, with that said, man, let's bring in Matt Gary. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Good evening. How you doing, bud?
Pretty good, man. So how's it going, man? Just 2 days out from the event. How you feeling?
Tired.
Man, the hardest work is still yet to come, man.
Yeah, that's all right. We're up for it. We're ready. So all the fighters are ready. And we're just looking forward to putting on a good show for the people.
Awesome, man. First and foremost, talk a little bit about, I was just telling a little bit about the All Sports Arena, but kind of talk about what the All Sports Arena is about. What do you guys do out there, and what all do you guys offer for the people here in Pasco and the surrounding areas?
Yeah, absolutely. We're, I call us a community center. My whole goal of that place is to make sure that people always have a place to play. Kids mainly, staying off streets and doing the right things. We do a little everything, mixed bag, I would say. Originally, it was just a hockey arena, but we've changed it to, we do cat shows. We have reptile shows, the largest in our country. We do all types of tournaments, whether it's lacrosse, soccer, hockey. We host birthday parties and special parties and school functions and a lot of fundraisers for all types of organizations. So we're just a really diverse area, 22,000 square foot building, and again, just keeping it open so everybody has a place to go.
Awesome, man.
Did you say that you host a reptile show?
Yes, sir. Twice a year. It's called Repticon. Their website's repticon.com. They literally had over 1,000 snakes in my facility. Three alligators. It was just sick.
Let me ask you a question. Do you have to get like a special permit to host this, or I mean, does the state of Florida? Because I'm not here in Florida as well. Does the state of Florida just kind of allow this thing as long as it's contained in one building?
Repticon has all the licensing.
Okay.
And it's a rink rental for us.
Okay.
So through their licensing, they're allowed to rent out facilities, and they got to get the permits through the county and do everything the right way, but they know what they're doing. They've been in business a long time. Very, very huge company.
Huh. And what was it like when they first approached you with this? Hey, listen, we're going to drop off 30,000 snakes in your building. Is that cool or what?
Actually, it was us approaching them. We do a lot of marketing during the day to get as much business in there, because my rent in there is just, it would probably make your head spin. So we had to find new avenues and bring in new things. But I obviously didn't know too much of what it was going to be when it first got there. But we had over 1,000 people in traffic come to watch their show. They had a 17-foot snake that I got to hold, which was pretty crazy. It was just a real, real cool production. They're back in August.
I'm the owner of a small snake, so I'm going to keep my ears and eyes open for that. Maybe I'll head up to the next one. But you said you do tournaments and you do leagues and stuff like hockey, lacrosse,
yep.
League.
Absolutely. Yeah. No. We have leagues. We have adult leagues, men and women on Sundays. Kids leagues during the week. Lacrosse has their own program. They own a professional team called Fire, and that team, they come and develop the lacrosse with the kids. They do camps, and they're ready to launch out an actual league at the facility, so it's going to be awesome.
Very cool. Matt was telling me a little bit of stuff off the air, about your facility and about this is kind of your first venture into MMA. You're mostly a hockey arena. I'm from Buffalo, New York, and I love me some Sabres. I like hockey. So this is kind of your first venture into MMA. How did you become part of becoming a promoter as well?
Well, I had a lot to do with, obviously, with Gator MMA and Daniel Blevins, great guy, came to me and we spoke about it. And obviously anything I can add to the facility to do good for the community and bring a lot of people in, I want to. And obviously I like to watch the fights and I've always had a passion for it. So I just incorporated it into the facility, and the first go-around, we were very, very successful, and I've royally marketed this event, so I can't see it not going forward to be a really just, explosive event. There's a lot of good people coming. Everyone that's involved in this, they're all good people, so it's going to be a good show, man. And then we have a pro scout going to be there for the fighters, which wasn't there the first time, so that's exciting for them as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let me ask you. You said when you first came on the air that you retired. Being a promoter, kind of putting all this stuff together. What is the hardest thing for you to do? I mean, that you can only do
fight.
So specific. Yeah, it's kind of like when I got married. My wife and I did all this planning, and then right up to the last time, we're just like, well, screw it. Now we're just going to enjoy ourselves. Does that ever happen with you? Like, I know booking the fights is the most difficult, but other than that, do you ever sit back and say, this is a good time?
Yeah, when the event's halfway through, that's about the point where you can start to enjoy it. But I hold so many hats, to be honest with you, because all of these events happen month after month, so all the planning I do. So I don't just get to enjoy just playing one event at a time. Like, I got this one, but I also run two of the largest ball hockey tournaments that teams come out of our country.
Wow.
And that's coming up in the following month. I also have an Ironman for adults. I have an Ironman for kids. So it's just, there's a lot of stuff that just keeps going on. So it's a never stopping wheel for me, but that's what I do. But booking fighters, to answer your question, that's what I found the biggest challenge so far. I still have two fighters just waiting for my call right now. One guy's 135, he's 0-1, and really, really wants to fight. And the other gentleman's 205, and he's 1-0. And I tell you, I've bounced Facebook crazy. I've done everything I can. And to no avail, I do not have fighters for these two, and I feel bad about it. But, it's the way it is right now.
If there's one thing that I've learned and stuff from going to a lot of fights throughout the state here, especially when it comes to amateur, is just tell those fighters whether or not there's an opponent for them, hey, show up to the weigh-ins or show up to the event. Because with amateur MMA, man, you never know. Like, there's fights that can pop up day of, the night before. That stuff always comes out of nowhere. Because usually teams, when they come out, they're always bringing extra fighters with them just in case, on standby. So that's something that I've noticed, man. You'll go out to an event, you'll have 10 fights scheduled, and the next thing you know, maybe there's 11 fights, or maybe you've got a 12th fight because a couple extra guys came out and they're willing to go. They've got, they've got their blood work and necessary things in order to fight. So it's a great way to jump in and take a fight. So, and I do, to what you said a few minutes ago, Matt, about marketing the hell out of this event. That's no joke, man. Everywhere I go, every intersection I stop at, every time I stop, pull up to a stop sign or I leave a neighborhood or anything, man, there is ASA MMA flyers and banners all over the place, man. So I know that You guys are working real hard there. You have a great team, and you guys are doing great things. And you're going to bring some awesome MMA to Newport Richey and to the Pasco County. So I know you got to be excited. I know, you know, come Saturday night, it's going to all pay off. It's going to be a great night of fights. I'll be out there live covering it, man. We're excited about that, buddy. Yeah, man. What's some tell you information about the weigh-ins. If people want to come to the weigh-ins or anything like that, where do they need to go?
Absolutely. Tomorrow night at the Buffalo Wild Wings in Trinity, Florida, 7 to 9, we're going to be doing the weigh-ins. And then, obviously, the fight starts Saturday night at 7 o'clock. And if anybody wants to buy tickets in advance, they can come to the arena and pick them up. And they get $5 off if they buy them in advance. And if they also buy them in advance, they get in a half hour early so they can get their priority seating.
Right on, man. And you guys, you guys got some of the top gyms here in Florida kind of coming out to the fight. What's up?
I've expanded on that. We actually have some fighters coming out of Louisiana.
Awesome.
And a couple, actually some of our main events, there are guys that are coming out of Miami. So,
very, very cool.
Yeah, we have some new gyms coming in. So the best part to me is the island of surprise. Sometimes when you have the gyms that are all close, everybody knows each other. So in this scenario, I've got guys coming from all over, so nobody's really going to know each other. So it's going to be a real feeling out process in the beginning of these fights.
Hey Matt, when you book these fights, is that kind of something you want to do? You don't kind of want to pigeonhole yourself to get to get all the gyms local. You kind of want to expand a little bit. Is that kind of part of the plan?
No, it just fell into the lap this way, to be totally honest with you. Throughout this process, time frame of when I started to book fights to now was not very big. So I kind of had to go outside the box. But July 20th at my next event, it's going to be a lot easier and we'll have a lot more local.
Okay.
Through all the great teams and the gyms that I've met throughout this process in the last month, you know, my card for the next show is almost booked. Faster than this one was. It's sad but true.
So you're going to sleep a little bit better coming up to the July event is what you're telling me.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, let me ask you a question. How did you – I mean, I know you own this huge building, 23,000 square feet? 22,000?
22, yep.
A huge building. So you own this huge building. You got to fill it with some stuff. You kind of – I mean, how did you decide on MMA? Was boxing, wrestling, did you kind of kick that stuff out, or were you just like, MMA is it and this is the way I want to go?
Yeah, basically, MMA. But again, as I told you at the beginning, I'm open to anything. So
if a
promoter or somebody calls me up and they either want to rent my facility or just partner with me and start something new, and it brings some excitement to our community, because let's be facing it now, Pasco County is not exactly the most exciting town in the world. You know, a lot of people go out to Tampa to try to do something fun. So I want to keep actually everything in our town the more we can, and it helps our funding and everything else in our town. So we try to stay close niche and help each other out.
Okay, I think the question I want to ask now is, how did you get into facility management? Is that something you've done all your life, or, you know, was it just a niche you wanted to scratch kind of thing, or?
Well, true story, 2 years ago, we walked up to the facility that I've been playing hockey at myself since it opened 13 years ago, and there was a letter on it saying that the old owners were closing.
Okay.
And I've had my whole entire life invested in playing the sport of hockey, which was in there, and my kid would die without the sport pretty much. And these kids that we've all got to know throughout all these years, I mean, I've been coaching some of these kids, and now I see them come in, and they're like 18, 19 years old. And they did, you know, just the thought that they didn't have a place to go. At that point, I just kind of had to step it up, and I took over the ownership. And from there, I've, like I said, now we're diverse. They only did hockey there, and you can't survive off just one sport. It's just the way it is. The rent and everything else is just way too much money. So I pitched that this is what I was going to do, and I followed everything I said I was going to do.
Good for you. Listen, before we let you go, I want to give you an opportunity to let everybody know where they can find you. pitch your event, tell them where they can buy tickets, you know, sponsors, all that stuff. The floor is yours, my man. So tell us all about you.
Absolutely. Again, All Sports Arena's website is ALL-SportsArena.com. Our phone number is 727-845-7808. And you could buy tickets in advance at the arena, which is at 7716 Rutilio, R-U-T-I-L-L-I-O Court in Newport Richey. Tickets are on sale, and we do have a special. And if you have a group of 10 or more, we will give the person who runs the group a free ticket to come in. We still have two tables left for VIP. And we're just looking forward to putting on a great show. We have fighters that are real excited and the community that's pumped. We've marketed the Chasco Fiesta last week with a couple of women out there. And they had nothing but great response. So Matt's going to be there. Gator MMA bringing a lot of fights and a lot of fighters, and they're a great gym. If anybody out there is listening and they want to get into this, I would definitely recommend that they go to Gator MMA in town. And that's about all.
Very cool. Any sponsors you want to thank before we cut you free tonight?
Absolutely. I'd like to thank where we're doing our weigh-ins at Buffalo Wild Wing for sponsorship. And our main sponsor is Bear Asset. Actually, they're supplying three of their ladies. They'll be doing the rounds. And we have Brothers Power Coating. We want to appreciate them as well as a sponsor. And Dr. Unger, who will be ringside with his team of doctors. And Mr. Gonzalez, who is an attorney in Tampa.
Very cool. Well, we wish you the best of luck. And I know Matt's going to be there this week. I give you my word, I'll be there in July. And then I'm also going to be up there for the next reptile event. So I'm looking on your website right now, and I'm going to see when I can figure it out. So I appreciate it. Best of luck to you, my friend. And come back after the event, let us know how it went.
Thank you so much, guys.
All right, man. Matt, have a good night, dude.
You too.
Mute. All right, man. That's Matt Gary from All Sports Arena. Like he said, check out the website. It's all-sportsarena.com. Has all the info there. Also, you can check out MMAMadhouse.com. Check out my article on the event. Kind of tells you a little bit of insight into it and all of the outlets of where you can find out more info about it. We want to thank Matt for being on with us tonight. My co-host is behind the scenes right now. We're going to set up Shamar Bailey, who guy's been around in MMA a long time. Not to say he's an old man. I don't mean that at all by any means. The young dude, definitely still in the prime of his career. Lots of great fights ahead of him. And we'll be excited to talk with him tonight, talk to him about his upcoming XFC 23 fight, April 19th. That's actually in Louisville, Kentucky, so you want to check that out. And after that, XFC 24 is coming back to Tampa, Florida. Cannot wait for that. Going to be my first XFC event, and just absolutely cannot wait to be there. I know I said that twice in a row, but I'll say it again. I cannot wait to be at an XFC event live. I've been looking forward to that since I joined Madhouse, since I first heard about the XFC. Cannot wait. Cannot wait to get on there. And I said that four times. I know that. But you know what? They're an awesome promotion, awesome people, awesome promoter, awesome fighters, awesome fights. So it's going to be a great time, and we'll talk to Shamar here really shortly about his fight coming up. And man, just looking over, Shamar Bailey, got a lot of big fights, man. Been in the UFC, been in King of the Cage, been in Strikeforce, been in Bellator. Dude's got some great fights, and with that, we got him ready to go. So, Shamar Bailey, how you doing tonight, sir?
Hey, guys, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, man, not a problem. How you feeling? You got a fight coming up in about a week, man. So how you feeling, and how's the preparation going?
I'm feeling good. No injuries, no. Just a bunch of bruises from training, but feeling as good as I ever have before a fight. And I'm just excited that training camp's almost over and we can just go ahead and move forward with the actual fight.
Right on, man. Now let's talk a little bit about, you've been fought for some, you know, top promotions in the world, man. You fought for Bellator, you fought for UFC, you fought for Strikeforce, the M1 Challenge, King of the Cage, man. It just goes on and on, the fact that you fought in the top promotions in this world. So how is that experience going to, what is that experience come together to to offer you for this XFC debut?
Yeah, man, I've definitely been blessed to be able to, you know, fight some big fights and just kind of travel around and enjoy my career. And this is just another opportunity to do what we train to do, man. And actually, I'm excited that's in Louisville. It's not too far from where I live in Indianapolis. So XFC seems to be a well-run promotion. And, you know, I just can't get lost in who you're fighting for. More than anything, just who you're fighting, what your job is when the cage door is shut. So, yeah, I think that's what experience does for you.
Right on, man. Now, I mean, now you talked about XFC being great people and a great run promotion. I couldn't agree more. What is your, and I'm guessing based off that, it's a good one, but what's your experience been with them so far and with John Prisco?
You know, obviously everything's been either over the phone or via email, so I can't say a whole lot as of right now, but they've, you know, been good as far as reaching out to me and offering me this fight, and I appreciate the opportunity. They're also working with me and helping raise money for this kid that is here in Indianapolis that's actually receiving chemo treatments for cancer that he's fighting in Louisville, so... I saw that as an opportunity to help him raise money since he's fighting a more serious fight than any of us are in Louisville at the time that we'll be fighting. So they're going to, you know, kind of highlight his story on Access TV and give people an opportunity to donate to his treatments, man, and hopefully he'll come out a winner as well. So, you know, between that and just being offered this opportunity, you know, it's been a positive experience for sure.
You know, Shamar, like we talked off air, I got a chance to interview you in the past, and I knew I liked you. You were a good guy then, but you know, you just following up with that story. That's just incredible. Is this something that they wanted to do for a long time? And how did this you know kid come to you? How did this opportunity come to you?
You know, I was my buddy's is a wrestling coach. He his story, man. He you know just finally had cancer not too long ago, and after his fourth chemo treatment, he. His wrestling state championship was the very next day, and he went and took second in the state championship for wrestling. That's a very tough feat for anybody, let alone a fourth grade kid, you know. So I've been keeping track of him a little bit, you know, just because of my friend who coaches him. And then when I found out that, you know, what we have to offer him here in Indianapolis isn't getting a cut, and they're doing more studies and treatment in Louisville, and I know there's just a great opportunity to use the opportunities we have as, you know, professional athletes to kind of help them out a little bit more. So fortunately, it all came together well, and Access TV jumped on it, and just a lot of people are responding in a positive manner, man. So I'm really pumped for that. You know?
That's incredible, and I know you didn't just bring that up just, you know, to pat your own back, because I know you're not that kind of guy, but that's incredible, and
no.
you should be commended for that, and, you know, that's awesome. So I hope he gets the treatment he needs. So, Shamar, I know a little bit about your background, but a lot of these people that are listening, I know Matt, you know, when he and I talked a little bit, you know, not fully where you came from, how you started. Why don't you give everybody a little rundown of how you got going in this MMA thing?
Yeah, I only wrestled my senior year of high school, and, you know, kind of had a fuel to keep competing. So I went and wrestled in college, actually at a Bible college for 4 years. Was a national qualifier in college and didn't win the national championship, so still wanted to compete and started pursuing MMA. Not really to fight, just to train, and happened to walk into the same gym that Chris Lytle trained at the time. And, you know, it was on and popping after that, man. They convinced me to take my first fight, and then I was hooked after that. So that's kind of how it started, man, and I'm blessed, man. I do everything I do, you know, to honor God and go 100%. I never would have imagined that I would have, you know, had these big fights just from doing something that kind of as a hobby. So.
Yeah, no, I understand that. Jamar, I got to ask you, in your bio it says you were homeschooled. Were you really homeschooled? Now, when I ask that, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. When you're homeschooled, is it kind of like, you know, you get up and you're like, yeah, I just don't feel like doing homework today. Walk
me through homeschooling. Yeah, man, I was. My mom was actually a college professor, and my dad is, in addition to being a pastor, is a chemical engineer. So both parents are very intelligent and very disciplinarian type minded people, so there was no room for error, you know, growing up, you know what I mean, and so they had very high standards, so that's more or less why we were homeschooled. And, you know, for me, especially where we grew up, if you're homeschooled, you couldn't compete in the public school system. So for me, you know, books are all right. You know, that's what my parents wanted. If I wanted to be an athlete, and I was not able to compete, you know, in any sport really besides like rec leagues until my senior year of high school when I finally went to the local school here. And that's when I jumped off my wrestling career. So I got a late start in competitive athletics, if you will, and that's where we're at right now.
So you really –
hey, Jason, let me jump in. Jason, let me jump in real quick, man. What do you have against people if they were being homeschooled? I myself was homeschooled. My parents were children's, my parents are children's pastors in an Assemblies of God church, and they homeschooled us for quite a few years, man, and I turned out all right. So what are you trying to say about homeschooled people?
I never said that I was anywhere. I was just saying, like, you know, homeschooling. Sometimes some homeschools, because, you know, in the field I work in, some people say they're homeschooled, but they haven't been – they can't even read past, you know, the Cat in the Hat. So I know Shamar is a very well, you know, very intelligent man, and, you know, we've had great conversation in the past. So I just was like, then when I heard that, you know, his mom was a college professor, my man was doing, like, some calculus stuff in, like, the fourth grade. So, no, I know
against
that.
Against my will, man. It was definitely against my will, but, yeah, I was doing some crazy assignments.
So, Shamar.
Go ahead, Jason.
No, I just wanted to follow up with that. So you never competed. I just want people to understand this. You never competed in sanctioned, sponsored athletics until your senior year, and you were a national NCAA qualifier?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, I did, you know, the rec league stuff and some AAU here and there, but nothing organized when it came to school competition, man, until my senior year. So God, you know, blessed me with talent, and we worked hard, man, made the most of it.
Fair enough. Now, I know, you know, I don't want to kick a dead horse. I know you're fighting a great organization, the XFC, but I want to talk a little bit about the Ultimate Fighter. Do you still follow the Ultimate Fighter a little bit on TV?
I didn't watch it too much, you know, after my season until this past one. Just there's a guy from Indiana that's training with Jackson's, Bubba Menace.
Yep.
And obviously, Chael Sonnen and John Jones keep it interesting as well. So I did keep up with this season, man. It was definitely an impressive season that I think gave the people a little bit more of what they tune in to watch.
Walk us through the Ultimate Fighter. I mean, tell me, you know, we only see what they edit down and everything. Tell me, you know, I know you can't probably disclose a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff, but just kind of walk us through the house, the day-to-day life that you guys went through. You know, because I'm never going to be on that show. For the life, you know, I'm not an athlete. But walk us through a little bit of that show.
Man, you know, more or less we're there to train and get better as fighters and try to win a tournament, you know. So it was definitely day in, day out. You train, you leave the house, you go train, you go back to the house, you hang out for a little bit, take a nap, do whatever you got to do, eat, go back to the gym, train again, and then go back to the house and listen to each other tell the same stories over and over again. So, you know, they do something different every season, but for ours, you know, they took our phones. No, we couldn't read anything except the Bible, which I was happy about. You know, no TV, no music, no nothing, man. So it was definitely a setup to kind of let loose in different ways. But at the end of the day, you're there to fight. You're there to get better. So you just got to stay focused. And some people had a problem doing that. And that's where the drama comes from. And others didn't. So definitely kept it interesting.
Tell me, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but I kind of am too. Tell me, how do you feel about Brock Lesnar as an MMA fighter?
I would just say, you know, he's got a lot to learn, or had a lot to learn, you know, but at the same time, he's a monster, man. So he knew how to cut weight, and he knew how to use his wrestling to his ability against guys that weren't as big as him. So, you know, he's still got to give the man his respect. You know, he knew how to use the tools he had. But as an MMA fighter, you know, just like most wrestlers, got a lot to learn in the other skill sets. So,
I've met him on two different occasions. One, just kind of walking through the airport. Both times he was a jerk. Is that kind of how he was in the house as well?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to go on record saying Brock Lesnar was
no,
a jerk,
I respect
you know,
that.
But,
but
he did not go out of his way to be extremely friendly to
okay,
people
enough.
That
yeah.
are in his inner circle. He needs you to, he expects you to be in his inner circle if he's going to treat you a certain way. So
okay, so we're going to take our foot off the gas of me being a jerk here, so I apologize for that. Let's talk about your fight coming up against Luis Santos. You know, he's a Bellator vet. It's kind of a tough fight for you. You know, tell me what we can expect in the cage on April 19th.
Yeah, man. I mean, there's only one way to find out, right? When the door closes. I've seen a live tape of his. I'm sure he's seen a live tape of mine. And he's got some tendencies as well. I'm sure he's taken note of my tendencies, man. But at the end of the day, he's a tough guy. He's well-rounded. Good strikers, those hard kicks. Uses a lot of angles with his punches, and he's a black belt on the ground. So it's going to be an intense chess game, and you know I'm looking forward to it. So if I do what I'm supposed to do, this will be a good fight for the fans, and probably won't go the distance. And if I don't do what I'm supposed to do, then it probably won't go the distance. So it's going to be a fight fans want to watch.
Shamar, I know your cardio is you know out of this world. I know you're a world class wrestler. Tell me a little bit what you're working on. I don't want you to give away your game plan terribly, but just tell me a little bit what you're kind of focusing on a little bit more than wrestling. I know you can't just go in and wrestle, lay and pray kind of stuff. I know you're not that kind of guy. Tell me a little bit about what you're working on and a little bit about you know what kind of game plan basically what you're going to be working.
I tell you what, you know, I used to be a lay and pray kind of guy just because I didn't know enough about the game, the ground game and everything. But at this point, man, just staying busy and keeping pressure on him, man. We got to wear him out. More tired he gets, the more mistakes he makes, just like any human. So it's going to be on me. I think I'll be the one that has to work harder in the beginning of the fight without giving away too much. But it's going to be me, putting out the output, I guess.
Sure.
And get him tired, and then we'll go from there, see how the fight goes. But get him tired, and then we'll look to exploit some things.
Sure. Hey, Shamar, what kind of contract are you sitting on with the XFC? Is there a few fights coming up for you in the XFC, or is this like a fight-by-fight basis?
As of right now, it looks like a fight-by-fight basis. It sounds like the winner of this fight is looking at a title fight in December. That's something I read on Twitter.
Okay.
So, you know, there's definitely potential with this, and rightfully so. I think this is probably one of the biggest main events they've had in a while. So we'll see. You know, can't get past this one, but that's kind of what we're looking at right now.
Shamar, what do you like to do outside of the cage, man? I know you're training hard for this fight. I mean, you only got a couple days left until this fight. After on April 20th, I know right now you're not thinking anything but, you know, Luis Santos. So April 20th, what are you going to do, man? What are you going to do when you get home in Indianapolis? What are you going to do?
I'm going to eat a lot, man. Probably eat a bunch of donuts and Oreos. I got a sweet tooth, man. I got a problem with that. Catch up on some time with my girl. And I don't know, man. I'm actually at the firehouse right now, and one of the guys I work with is a CrossFit instructor. Going to try to help me with my movements, man. I like to do a couple competitions and that as well, man. I get a lot of satisfaction out of, you know, training hard but not getting hit in the face every day. So
yeah, that's
we'll see,
imagine.
Man. We'll see. Yeah.
Let me ask Jason,
that's 2 weeks in a row now. We got a fire on the air talking about their obsession with Oreos. I'm starting to really like this. Like this gig and really starting to like some of these fighters lately, man. We talk to so many fighters all the time.
I'm picky. It's got to be double stuff or mega stuff.
Oh, there we go, man.
Yeah,
what I'm talking about. These are guys I should be hanging out with, man. That's what we had Adam Milstead on last week, and he was talking to us with a case of the mega stuff Oreos and a Yingling in his hand. I'm like, man, that's where I need to be right now. We got to all get together, man, and just chow down on some Oreos and some delicious beer, man. That's what it's all about.
Definitely. Here in another week or so, it's going down.
Hey, Shamar, you made a comment about hanging out with your girl. I got to ask this. I got to kind of follow up on that. Now, did you meet her prior to you becoming an MMA fighter, or did you meet her after? Is she supportive? Is she an MMA fighter? How does that relationship work?
Yeah, man. She's very supportive. She's not. She's definitely not an MMA fighter. She didn't like MMA, but she's she was an athlete herself. Played soccer, so she's very smart, intelligent girl, you know. And so she kind of studies the game a little bit, and you know, so she knows what's going on when I'm fighting, and so she's very supportive, man. Cooks healthy for me, and you know, doesn't bring me drama like a lot of girlfriends that I've had in the past, you know. So she puts up with my attitude when I'm cutting weight, so I couldn't ask for anything better, honestly.
See, that was going to be my next question, this whole cutting weight thing. I ask every fighter we have on here because it's this crazy phenomenon to me. Walk me through a weight cut for you. I mean, we're 8 days away from your fight. When do you start this weight? What are you walking around at now? And when do you start this nonsense of depriving your body of everything?
Well, I got it down to a science now, man. I mean, after the UFC asked me to cut to 155 a couple times, man, that was sheer punishment. 170 is not that hard, man. So I walk around. I was 188 last week. I've got my weight down to 184 right now. Started Monday. You know, really, you know, I got couple more hard sparring sessions this week. So starting next week, it'll be more just focused on the weight. I won't need, you know, any carbs or hardly any calories, and that's when we'll really start chipping away at the weight. If I can get down to 177 the morning of weigh-ins, then 6 pounds is nothing. And, you know, it goes from there. So as far as the mental thing and how you relate to your girlfriend, your family, I think weight cutting is just more or less your body clicks and it knows it's time to fight and starts shutting everything else out. So it's just, you know, your body's kind of going on automatic at that point.
So I got to say, you're not sleeping in the doghouse because you said a couple of good things. She's an athlete, and you called soccer a sport. I'll say that, but you didn't. You actually called. You know, your girl's intelligent, so you're better off than I am. Usually, I sleep in the doghouse, so good for you, Shamar. Hey, but before we let you go, before we get you out of here. Any sponsors that you want to give a shout-out to? Tell everybody where they can find you on Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest. I don't know. You got a Pinterest? Are you one of those Pinterest guys?
No. I'm not up to date with the Pinterest thing. I'll leave that to the lady. You know what I mean? But, just follow me at shamarbailey.com, at shamarbailey on Twitter, and find me on Facebook, not only for fight training camp updates, but also for how you can support Junior is his name. The fourth grader I mentioned earlier that's fighting a battle with cancer. So all my sponsors and my manager and my training partners, trainers, you guys know who you are. They'll be on my shorts and my banner. Come fight. I couldn't do this without them. I appreciate them. And again, thanks to God for giving me the ability to do what I do, and thanks to you guys for having me on the show.
Hey, Shamar, before I let you go, do me a favor. Tell everybody again that young man that's fighting cancer and where we can support his cause as well.
Okay, yeah. Young man that's fighting cancer, his name is Wallace Stovall Jr. We call him Junior here. And he is here in Indianapolis, listening in Indianapolis, getting chemo treatments in Louisville. And so we will, Access TV will be doing a story on him prior to the fight. So tune into Access TV to learn how you can donate directly to his treatment, or just go to my website or follow me on Twitter at Shamar Bailey. Get more details.
Shamar, we're gonna put something up here on our webpage here, and I'm also gonna tweet it out. So, and that's on your website. That's on your website, just shamarbailey.com. Is that your website?
I'm actually, there's been a couple articles, so we're trying to post those, but it's for sure on my Facebook and my Twitter, and I'll make sure that the up to date information is on my website.
Okay. All right, Shamar, best of luck, my man. Listen, April 20th, I want you to eat some double stuff, and I want you to eat as much as you can, and I want you to come back on here and talk to us again about how you're going to be fighting for the title in December. How's that?
Hey, man, I look forward to it, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, if your lady's listening and you said she takes good care of you, man, make sure that when he comes back from that fight after getting that big W, you've got just like a month's supply of those big double stuff Oreos for him, so. That's how you take care of him.
Right. That's right.
Hey, if you come across the Mega Stuff Oreos, I gotta say, man, try them. It's like a quadruple stuff, dude. You just it's phenomenal stuff. So, anyways, man,
better.
Hey, let like Jason said, man, thanks for joining us, dude, and good luck on the next Saturday on that great fight, man.
Thank you very much, guys. Be safe.
All right.
Bye now.
That's Shamar Bailey, man. He's a good dude. You know, he's very focused. I knew going in that he'd never been that he was homeschooled and that he'd never been an athlete per se outside of just being outside of his senior year. And I knew he was he's being looked at for NCAAs and the guy's just incredible. He's just a straight athlete. You know, you see him on The Ultimate Fighter. He's fought in the UFC, and he's just a great dude. He's a great family man. And, you can tell by him, fighting for that young man and his cause and whatnot. So, again, we talk about it week after week after week, how good the community in the MMA, how good the MMA community is. And Shamar did not disappoint, man.
Yeah, definitely, man. And you cannot go wrong with somebody who truly appreciates the greatness of Oreos. So.
I like some Oreos. I'm not even going to sit here and lie to you about, but, when you try to maintain the girlish figure that I try to maintain, you really can't be pounding away
I don't even know where to go from there. I don't even know how we continue this show right now. Oh boy, but we are going to continue the show, and we do have one more great interview to go, and then of course we'll end with a nice half hour of some open air. We'll just talk some stuff, and we'll talk whatever comes up. I do want
to
take a quick.
We didn't talk to Shamar about. We didn't talk to him about. We didn't talk to him about being a firefighter, and he brought it up, and I didn't even. He works with Chris Lytle of the UFC, and we never even talked about it, and I feel bad. Damn.
Yeah. For anybody interested in wanting to find out more about that cause and that young man's battle with cancer, I did just share the website through the Full Guard Fight Radio Facebook page, so make sure you check it out right now. It is just simply shamarbailey.net. If you want to find out more about it, that's his website. You can find out all about that cause that he stands up for. So, and once again, while we got a few minutes here, we're gonna be getting on the phone here very shortly with Amber Stotzenberger. Excited to talk with her. A really exciting young fighter. She got a couple fights coming up real soon. So we're going to talk to her about both of those. Knowing fighters, she'll probably just want to talk about the one because, they never look through their opponent. But I'm seeing here that she's got two fights scheduled, so I know she's a busy girl. But before we go there, we want to do what we always do, and that's give shout-outs to our sponsors, the great companies that allow us to get on here week after week and make fools of ourselves. So we'll start off welcoming our new sponsor, Draco Sports, man. Just absolutely love them. Thank you for jumping on board with Full Guard Fight Radio. They've been with Madhouse for a while, and we're very appreciative that they've decided to come on here and give us a chance. So with that said, we want to thank you very much, Draco Sports. Check them out, dracosports.com, or you can follow them at Draco Sports on Twitter. Check them out, man. They're an awesome company. Also, Game Changer Clothing and Crossroader Clothing, man. A couple of great apparel companies doing some awesome MMA gear, man. Check them out on Facebook. Check them out on Twitter. And, of course, ProAmBelts.com, the best in the business, man. You're not going to find better belts. I've seen and held some Pro-Am belts and absolutely love them. So check them out, and you won't go wrong by ordering belts from them. And, of course, personal sponsors here locally, GatorMMA.com. Seriously, check them out. You're not going to find a gym that's going to offer you the time on the mats and the training and the knowledge that they're going to offer you. It's $60 a month. You're talking a couple hundred hours of open mat time. Come in, train whenever you want. We have a late night crew. We call them the Midnight Warriors. They usually go from about 9 p.m. to about 2 a.m., usually 5 days a week. We're even incorporating some basketball, man. We've been out a couple times this week with the team from Gator MMA. We've been playing some basketball, trying to get the fighters some training with their legs and really hustle their bodies overall. Some good cardio there. So check out, man. $60 a month. It's GatorMMA.com. You can contact Daniel Blevins, and they'll get you set up, man. Come out, let you try it out, see how you like it. It's a no contract, so check it out. You can't go wrong there. And then our friends over at FutureFighters.com, like I said earlier, check out the magazine, man. They're doing some awesome things for the kids, and you can't overlook when companies are doing great things for the kids. I mean, these kids are an exciting future generation that are just – they're going to elevate – MMA to heights unseen that we can't even fathom right now. So it's going to be awesome to see some of these kids grow up. While we're talking about the kids, and before we get going anywhere else, I gotta say, man, I don't know how much you follow Clinch Custom Mouth Guards or how much you see what they're doing, but they're actually they are doing great things for the kids right now. They've got a really awesome team they've assembled of these great young kids, and that they're sponsoring and sending out custom made mouth guards too. And it's just awesome to see that the best mouth guards on the planet are sponsoring some of the best future kids that are out there, the future fighters, man. So check them out. Today they just added Junior Dynamite Marty to the team, and I know Junior's excited. Junior's a great young kid that we've talked to before, and a kid that I've got a lot of respect for, and I see him on a daily basis. So check him out, man. Clinch Custom Mouth Guards, getclinch.com. You won't find a better mouth guard anywhere on the planet. So, yeah, man, I know you probably fell asleep over there since I was just rambling on and on and on. But
I'm just used to it. You know what I do? You know what I do? I went out and mowed the lawn and took the dogs out. And, you know.
Right.
No, I agree 100%. Clinch Custom Mouth Guards, best in the business. They are, you can get anything out. You really can put anything out. You can put a picture of a box of double-stuffed Oreos on the Clinch Custom Mouth Guards. I mean, they are the best in the business. The guys are incredible. The people that make them, they're professional, you know, best money can buy, and you know, I mean, put your money where your mouth is, for real. I mean, that's a great slogan. You got to think about that. You know, put your money where your mouth is, and how true is that? You don't want to walk around looking like my grandfather with no teeth. So that's why you do that. Is, you know,
absolutely, man. Yeah, man. With that said, like I said, you know, Amber Stotzenberger, we're going to get ready to roll live with here in the next couple minutes. Exciting young fighter, got a 2-1 pro record and a 4-3 amateur record. Seems like she's fought at a bunch of different places. And like I said, she's got a fight coming up April 20th, next Saturday. It's called Spring Brawl. And her opponent looks to be Glenna Avila. And then also got another fight scheduled on May 18th, and that's the Jesse Rodriguez promotion. And so we'll talk with her a little bit about that and see what she's got going on. And who knows, maybe we got another great Oreo fan on about to get live with here. So with that said, you know, check out some great events here in the local Tampa Bay area. We were talking with Matt Gary earlier. You can check out ASA MMA Fight Night this Saturday at the All Sports Arena in Newport Richey, Florida. Check that out. Also next Sunday, you have the Raw War Fighting Championships Night of the Warrior going live down at the 727 Lounge, formerly Gasoline Alley in Largo, Florida. That's actually next Sunday, April 21st, so check that out too, over at RawWarFC.com. Actually, speaking of Raw War FC, been talking with the guys over there, and I know they've been working real hard, and Michael Yanez Highlander out of Highlander MMA has been working diligently to help them prepare that fight card and get that event ready to go. So I know those guys are going to be rocking next Sunday. We actually will be giving away a couple tickets next week for the Raw War Fighting Championship. So if you're in this local area, tune in. Not sure how we're going to present it yet. Maybe some type of a trivia question. Maybe first caller. Who knows? We'll see how it goes. But the guys at the Raw War FC have agreed that they want to give away 2 tickets to some local fans. So tune in for that. We'll come back to that a little bit later. Right now we're going to jump in with our last but not least guest of the evening. And we're privileged to have her on. Amber, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing very good. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So what you got going on? You're preparing for a fight. You got a fight next Saturday. I mean, how's things going? Are you wrapping up fight camp and stuff?
Yes, this is my last hard week of training. Next week is just a little bit of technical stuff. I'm fighting Glenna Avila for Dakota Fighting Championships on April 20th.
Awesome. And you said that's for a title?
No, it's not for a title.
I'm sorry. I misunderstood you then.
Oh, it's okay. But that would be great if it was.
So now, what weight do you fight at?
115.
115. I know I want to ask you about fight cuts, but my co-host here will jump in a minute. Weight cuts are usually his area of expertise. So what's been gone into your fight camp and where are you training out of to get you ready for this fight?
I'm training out of Moeller Mixed Martial Arts. I also cross train sometimes at Fitness Fight Factory where Johnny Bedford trains. This is the most I've ever trained with girls for this fight camp. I've had about 4 or 5 different girls coming to help me train.
That's awesome. And how's that going? How's that differed from before when you haven't really trained with the girls so much?
At my gym at Moeller's, we do have a lot of small guys, 135 weight class, 125. But either way, fighting with a girl, whether they're bigger or smaller than me, there is a strength difference, and just the way they spar or grapple, it's still different from a guy. So it gives me an idea of, you know, what it's like to fight with a girl.
Hey, Amber, excuse me. That's a perfect lead into my first question. First of all, I heard the weight cut thing. I want to talk about that in a minute because it's like I'm like obsessed with this. I don't cut weight. I actually can't even spell cut weight, but I want to talk about it. But that kind of leads me to my first question. You talked about training with a girl. I'm not sure if you follow kind of what's going on in the MMA world. Do you know about this whole thing with this Phelan Fox? Have you heard about this?
I have.
Okay. As a female, I mean, we've had a lot of males on here. We've had a lot of different perspectives on here. And as a female, could you give me kind of a perspective? I'm not asking you to kind of, you know, go to sway one way or the other. But can you give me a little bit of perspective from a female fighter, you know, how you would feel about fighting in this, you know, fair, unfair kind of thing?
If I got offered to fight a, you know, a transgender, I would honestly say no, just to me, because she was born a male, and I would imagine her estrogen levels aren't the same as ours, and she's going to have more testosterone than what females have. So I would still think she still has the testosterone of a male.
Yeah.
So
and
I would say her strength difference and... Yes.
Yeah. No, I really appreciate you being honest with that because I feel the same way. I feel like, listen, I'm not here to take any money from anybody. I'm not here to tell anybody they can't work. But, I mean, in all fairness, I mean, this is not a team sport. This is a one-on-one. This is a brutal sport. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not being sexist here, but, you know, men are just born stronger than women regardless. And, you know, a 125-pound man is just stronger than a 125-pound woman regardless. And I appreciate your honesty and whatnot there. So thank you very much for answering that. What kind of stuff do you like to do besides getting punched in the face, Amber?
Well, outside of training, I teach art classes or painting classes. So I actually went to school for that. So I guess art.
Really? You're an artist. What kind of art do you do? Because I struggle drawing stick figures. What kind of art do you do?
I actually teach acrylic painting classes, but I love to use watercolors the most. That's the medium I prefer. Mm-hmm.
And so you go. I mean, this is kind of this transition is kind of odd. You go from the cage right into the easel. Was that kind of the way you work? I mean,
is it? What was the question?
You kind of go from the cage to the easel? I mean, you just kind of walk right into to teaching kids how to paint after you just, you know, put a hurt on them. I appreciate
it. Yeah, it's kids and adults. So, I mean, it's, I don't know, totally different from fighting, but I enjoy both.
I guess it kind of, you know, kind of relaxes you, I'd imagine so. You know, I mean, there's nothing, you know, not very stressful, you know, doing a painting. So.
Right.
How did you get started in... You know, I'm looking at your pictures here. You're a beautiful lady. How did you get started in martial arts, in mixed martial arts?
After I graduated high school, I lived a little bit south of San Antonio, Texas, and I moved to Dallas to come to school. And I just joined a gym so I could stay in shape, and they had jiu-jitsu and kickboxing there, and I tried it out. I finally started sparring. And I just figured if I was going to get in the, you know, hit in the face, it should be for something. So I mean, that's how it originally started.
Do you,
Amber, where'd the nickname come from, the Apex Predator? Who gave you that name?
Some of my teammates gave it to me.
I mean, that's absolutely one of, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no. You were going to say it was a good nickname?
I was going to say it's absolutely one of the sickest, greatest nicknames I've heard. So, yeah, I mean, that's awesome, the Apex Predator. I mean, he doesn't get much more, like, fierce and intimidating than that.
Yeah. I mean, that pretty much explains it of why they gave it to me. Pretty much my teammates, my coaches, they feel that I could actually beat anybody, so I'm at the top of the food chain. And then also they kind of joke around because my last name's pretty long, so it just makes my whole name longer.
What nationality are you? Is that a German last name?
It's a German last name. My father's German, my mother's Hispanic.
Okay, fair enough. Tell me a little bit about what's going to happen in your fight coming up here. I know, when is it, the 20th? Is it the 20th of April?
Yes, it's the 20th
okay.
of April.
Okay, so 20th of April, what are we going to see in the cage from Amber?
For me, hopefully another victory. That's what I plan to do, and I'm pretty confident about it. Usually I look to finish fights, so I'm hoping I've yet to have a KO, so that would actually be really nice.
your cardio is incredible. I mean, you go the distance a lot. I mean, you say you like to finish fights. You got to like to finish fights because you got to be tired after. I mean, I'm looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times you've gone, 4 times you've gone the distance, deep in the third round, a couple others. I mean, you got to be kind of tired. You got great cardio. Does that always come natural to you? Is that something you work on?
I think a little bit of both. Growing up, when I did sports in high school, I did cross country, and I was always in sports, so I kind of think that endurance helped. But I do try to continue doing cardio outside of running, that is.
So April 21st, what kind of stuff, other than art and painting in your class, what other kind of stuff do you enjoy doing, to kind of take your mind off training?
Sleep. No, usually if I'm not training or, working, I sleep, eat, I guess that. And then I also have a 6-year-old stepson, so a lot of our time goes into that as well.
Oh, yeah, I have a 6-year-old myself, so I know a lot of your time does go into that, absolutely. So is Glenna Avila, is that who you're fighting, Avila? Do you know much about her? Do you know what kind of stuff she brings?
I've seen pretty much all her fights in the past and recently as well. She's pretty aggressive. From what I see, she really wants the win. She doesn't fight just to fight. It looks like she just really wants to go somewhere with it. So I know she's aggressive. It looks like she throws up some slick submissions. I know her last two wins were off arm bars, her two pro fights.
So from here, I kind of know what the answer is going to be. But I kind of want to just, I kind of want to ask the question. Where do you go from here after you fight this fight? Do we move, are we looking at Invicta? Is that kind of where you want to go, or do you want to kind of stay, where you're at? What is the future holding for you?
I would love to fight for Invicta. I'm hoping this win will get them to look at me, and then hopefully I could be on their next card or, possibly the next. But as long as I keep fighting, I just want to fight, whether it's Invicta or otherwise. But Invicta would be the ultimate goal.
And you have representation, someone that, can kind of get these fights, or is this something that you do on your own?
No, I have somebody.
Take
I have a manager. It's Cage Fighter 360.
Very cool. Before we let you go, Amber, anybody, any shout-outs you want to give, any Twitters, Facebooks, Pinterest, anything you want to let everybody know where they can find you, any sponsors you want to thank, teammates, the whole nine?
Yes. My Twitter name, if you want to give me a follow, it's Amber Stotz. It's AmberStautz. I would like to thank my gym, of course. They help me every day, several times a day. My sponsors, Intimidation Fightwear, Ammo2Go.com, Gamma Labs, M-King Construction, Tested Fightwear, and one more, Michelle from Anova Richardson. There's a lot.
You got to get them all in there. Those are the guys that help.
Yeah, so hopefully I didn't forget any.
I respect that fully. Listen, Amber, best of luck to you on the 20th of April here. You come back and let us know how the win went for you after you get that win.
Of course.
Amber, thanks so much. Best of luck to you, Amber. Have a good night.
Yeah, have a good night, Amber.
Amber Stautzenberger, and I appreciate her being very open and honest. I appreciate the female perspective on the Fallon Fox thing. I wasn't trying to catch her. I wasn't trying to, you know, backdoor or anything like that. I really appreciated her open and honest, you know, answer. And, you know, I mean, it's got to be difficult. You know, I mean, being a woman, you know, you don't want to say you're going to turn down a fight, but I kind of agree with her. I kind of would turn down a fight myself, and I really appreciated her being open to that. I'm sure that wasn't easy, and I really wasn't trying to put her on the spot. So I hope she didn't feel that way, but I really appreciate it, and I wish her the best of luck.
Yeah, I just can't get over, you know, like, I mean, to be given the name the Apex Predator, you've got to be pretty lethal. You've got to be among the best in your sport. So looks to be an exciting young fighter who should have a great career. I love Invicta, so I love that she said that Invicta is definitely somewhere she wants to fight, because I think Invicta Fighting Championships is the best thing out there for women's MMA. I don't care what the UFC does with women's MMA. I don't care who they sign. I don't care what fights they put together. Invicta Fighting Championships is the best thing for the growth of women's MMA, and I don't think that's going to change for a long time. So I love to hear when, you know, sometimes, you know, any fighter we talk to, probably any fighter out there, when you want to be a fighter, the UFC is the one that's on your mind. The UFC is they're the top dog. They're international, they're worldwide. You know, they're planet wide probably at this point. But to hear, you know, up and coming fighters, and even though the women's MMA is new to the UFC, you know, the fact that UFC is open to women now, that they're signing women fighters, you would expect fighters to automatically say, well, you know, I'm looking to get to the UFC. That's where I want to be. So to hear a fighter, you know, acknowledge the fact that, you know, Invicta's legit. Invicta's awesome. Invicta's not riding a wave of emotion when it comes to this thing. Invicta is 100% dedicated to the sport of women's MMA, and it's awesome. I just love to hear fighters say that they would love to fight for that promotion, and I know that Shannon Knapp and Janet Martin do great things and take great care of their fighters, and they're going to continue to see some great success because of that. So, but yeah, man, I actually Googled Apex Predator. So I'm kind of looking at a bunch of different pictures of what are considered to be Apex Predators. And it's just crazy, to think that, she's the Apex Predator in her sport, man. So that's pretty cool.
You know, I always wonder what kind of nickname and how things come up like that. An Apex Predator, you know, there's just some people that absolutely, you know, with their name, they have to be like Nate Corey. His name has to be The Rock. You know, it just has to be. Nick Ring, it has to be Promise, you know, for more than one reason. You know, there's just some people that just have to have a name. And then you get some people who just get the name and it fits so well, like John Jones, Bones. I mean, the guy is just skin and bones. You know, it's just, it is what it is. So, and it's kind of funny and the same, because Amber, you know, she's a little girl. She's 115 pounds. She's not some animal. You know, I'm some pictures here on her Facebook. You know, she's in a dress and she looks like a beautiful woman. And then you look at the next page and she's pounding some girl in the face. You know, and her name is the Apex Predator. So it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like I don't want to say an oxymoron, but it's kind of funny to sit and look at the differences. And I'm trying to think of what my nickname would be. I think for homework next week, we have to come on and we have to say what our nickname would be. if we were in MMA.
Wouldn't you be Jason Ice Ice Baby London?
No, I would have to be. I don't know. I would have to think about it. I don't know. Let me think about it. I will come on next week and I will have a sweet. Yeah, I might tweet it throughout the week. I might just be. I'm gonna have a sweet day.
Right, right on, man. Listen, let's jump into something that I wanted to talk about, something that I just happened to be thinking about throughout the week, and it just so happens that have fate had it that you would mention it while talking to Amber. You mentioned the fact that it's an individual sport, that it's not about teams, and it's actually, like I said, I think it's just ironic that you would make that comment when it's something that's kind of been on my mind throughout the week. I was actually talking to a guy, actually today, a guy at work about it. And I have to say, man, you know, very often we tend to agree. I don't think that a topic has come up yet that we've disagreed on, but we may disagree slightly on this one because although – MMA, yes. As a whole, MMA is an individual sport. When a fighter steps into that cage, it is him versus another. It is warrior versus warrior. There's no team to pass the ball to. There's no quarterback wide receiver connection. There's nothing like that. It's fighter versus fighter, and there's no one else in that cage besides, you know, with the exception of the ref. But and it's a big capital but because. In many, many ways, it is still a team sport, despite the individuality of the fact that when you step into the cage, it's fighter versus fighter. That fighter is not getting to that cage without his team. That fighter does not get to that point to be ready for that fight. Anderson Silva doesn't step in the cage after training for 3 months by himself. If he spent 3 months shadow boxing and training on a bag by himself, we wouldn't be talking about Anderson Silva as the greatest fighter in the world. Anderson Silva would probably, yes, maybe he'd still be a great fighter because I think certain guys are just born with that. But in so many ways, probably 85% of the time, it is a team sport. And it's just something that I just happened to be thinking about and happened to be talking about the last couple of days and wanted to actually get on here and have it as – I had already wanted to have this as a topic during our open-air time here for the rest of the show. And by the way, if you're listening in, you want to call in, you want to chat, we're going to do open lines the rest of the show. We got about roughly 40 minutes left of the show. Me and Jason here, we're just going to BS. We're going to talk and just kick back and have a good time. You want to call in chat? You want to ask us a question? You want to tell us we're idiots? Call in and let us know. We're open to that. We're open to criticism. Be nice to us because we are both, you know, we're both awesome dudes. So just call in the number 310-742-1799. You're listening in. You want to chat? Just call in and talk. We'll talk about whatever. But, yeah, to keep going with what I'm saying, you know, these fighters, and it comes down to probably the top example I have is Daniel Cormier, Cain Velasquez. Probably two of the top heavyweights in the world right now. I think that's probably without argument. And just absolutely phenomenal fighters. Guys that probably, if they stepped into a cage together, you'd probably see one of the best heavyweight fights of all time. But they won't step into the cage together because of the fact that they're teammates, they're family. You know, when you've got a team in this sport, it goes beyond a team. You know, for the few months I've been a part of Gator and Reme, it's just all of a sudden like being adopted into a new family. These people welcome you in without question. You know, they want to get to know you. They show true interest in you, which has been my experience from the beginning at Gator MMA with Daniel Blevins and the awesome team they have there. And I know that continues. Jackson's MMA, those guys won't – people out of that camp won't fight each other. People out of Cain Velasquez and Cormier's camp, they won't fight each other. The Black Zillions, they don't want to fight each other, you know. Typically, you won't see ATT guys fighting each other. Sometimes there's an exception because there's so much of a broad ATT spectrum now because American Top Team is just massive. But – in many aspects of this sport, it is a team sport. You may step into that cage alone, but right on the outside of that cage are guys that are part of you, that are in heart and spirit. They're inside that cage with you. So in many ways, I can't help but but think that this is completely a team sport, because I don't think any fighter would be where they are without that team, without that family that is pushed through blood, sweat, and tears hours, after weeks, after months to get ready, to get that fighter ready for that sport. I don't know. That just, to me, I think in many ways this is a team sport up until the time that the cage doors lock. But I don't know, man. I don't know what your thoughts on it are.
Okay. So I agree with you 100%. I think that it is a team sport. I think it absolutely, you need to rely on different people. I mean, Anderson Silva relies on Sensei Steven Seagal for the front kick. He relies on his wrestling coach. He relies on his jiu-jitsu, his boxing, I get that. I understand that 100%. How I was meaning that as soon as you step in the cage, as soon as the door locks, and it's just you versus Warrior with referee standing in there to tell you to get off him, you can have whatever kind of game plan you want to have. You can have whatever kind of, team meetings and team lunches and team this, team that. It is an individual sport. It's a team preparation. It's an individual sport. And to say that, this is some sort of team, I get it. These people, Shamar Bailey thanked this team. I can't do it without you. That's true. That's absolutely true. And I have no problem agreeing with that. I just think that when you get in there, you rely on muscle memory. You rely on your instincts. You rely on you. We're human beings, and we're not going to listen. If we're in a predicament that we feel like we're being suffocated or we're being whatever, and your team is like, don't give up, do this, do that, I'm going to, turn my nose to them and do what I need to do to survive. It's not about that. It becomes looking out for number one. And I understand what you're saying, Matt, and I'm really not trying to argue with you, because I think you make a good point. I think that you said it correctly, but I just think in the long run, I just think there's not one person on this planet that's going to tell me when I'm getting choked out that I need to just hang on and roll out of it and, throw an elbow here and drop a, this, when I have that panic feeling in myself that says I need to get myself out of this and tapping out or doing whatever. I mean, that's just one example. Nobody, no team is going to tell me what to do. No team is going to help me get through this. So that's kind of all I was saying. I wasn't really saying that it wasn't a team sport, but, when she stepped in the cage, I guess my point was very simple. When she stepped in the cage across from Phelan Fox, they fight at the same weight for whatever reason. They do not, but say whatever reason they fight at a catch weight, or Fox comes down, or Amber goes up, whatever. They're standing across from each other. It's just her versus Fox. It's just Amber versus Phelan Fox. So it's not. That's kind of what I was saying. So maybe I just went off on a tangent. But
no, I agree with. Yeah, man, I agree with everything you've just said too. Because you're right, man. I kind of touched on that. It is a team sport in many ways until that cage door locks. And once that cage door locks, it's just you versus the other person. And that's when all that training, all that preparation, all that your teammates and your coaches have told you, that kind of for the most part, it's there with you. Ultimately, man, it's warrior versus warrior, and that's when it does become at the most pivotal point of this sport. It is an individualist sport, and it's all about this fighter versus that fighter, and how they handle themselves once the cage doors lock. And at that point, yes, it is completely an individual sport. You do have people on the outside, helping you and coaching you, but as you said, when you're getting choked out, it's not them. They're not there. They can't do anything to help you out, man. It's up to you to choose to be put to sleep or to tap out and live to fight another day. So.
I absolutely agree with him. Hang on one second. We got somebody who wants to talk with us about.
Oh boy. I'm done with this show.
Hey, the man himself, Mr. Kyle Madman Mortensen. How are you, my friend?
Hey, good, man. Calling you from the great white north of the Canadian tundra, tuning into your guys' show. Fabulous job tonight.
The great white tundra.
We're actually talking team or individual sport. I'd love to hear, first of all, did you happen to hear Amber, I don't want to murder her name, Stelzenberger's reply when I asked her about Fallon Fox? Did you happen to hear that?
I didn't, actually. That was probably the only part of the show I missed tonight.
Well, we asked her, we've asked the females on our show if she would fight and if she's been paying attention, and she said she has and she wouldn't fight. So Matt and I kind of were getting in a little debate here about individual or team effort as far as MMA. I'd love to hear what you have to say.
First thing I'm going to say is listen to episode 125 of MMAMadhouse.com Live when we had Doc Joe on and get his point of view on Fallon Fox, whatever you want to say. Check that interview out because it's got great insight into that whole conversation.
Before you go too far, Carl, if some of us haven't heard it, some of the listeners haven't heard it, give us a little snippet of kind of which way he leans.
He leans in the negative for sure,
okay.
Big time.
Fair enough.
But it's definitely worth a listen to. It's a great interview, and you know he's a licensed physician, doctor, with great insight into that whole situation. So, you know, that's episode 125. Check out that replay. He's the first guest that night too, so he's on early. Team or individual sport? Well, it's an individual. What's the word I'm looking for? It's definitely an individual fight. It's a team sport in the aspect of training, of course. But, you know, I lean towards individual, I guess. Yeah, I almost have to. I mean,
yeah.
Geez,
I
you're...
Now, listen up here. I gotta step in here. I can't let this madness go on any longer. When we say we open up the phone lines to callers, we want real callers that are worth talking to. We don't want these bogus Canadians. How did you guys even get access to a phone up there? Like, I don't even understand that. When you talk about that great white tundra, were you talking about the snow or were you talking about your head of hair?
No, it's a tomato can. He's got tomato cans, and I got the string hanging out the door, so that's what we're doing.
Hey, you're not supposed to tell me.
Chop
the
string off. Who is this guy, anyways? Who is this guy? Come on now.
Cut that thing off.
Is this the guy that left us in the dust weeks ago, Jason? I think this is the guy that forgot about us.
No. I understand. The man's got to work. He's got to pay the bills. I get it. I got to call into question
the fact that he's got to work every Thursday night, but every Wednesday night, man, he's available. He's hanging out with Skippy and Lapati and the A team. He's not here with the B team, or maybe we're the C team. Maybe that's why we're getting left in the dust down here in Florida, man. People don't have no love for Florida MMA, I guess.
No love for Florida MMA, yeah, that's right. you guys, you know, you're the A team. We have two A teams for sure, man. And, you know, tonight you guys just rocked it. Last week you guys just rocked it. You've been, just ripping these episodes apart, man. They're fabulous. That's why we're picking up all these new sponsors, man. I'm working on another one right now. I'm not going to drop the name yet, but I think we're going to have another one very soon. And, you know, follow Draco Sports on Twitter, DRAKOSPORTS, Draco Sports.
You know, we were talking a little bit about that a little while ago. We were saying, is it something he's done correctly or is it something that you've done correctly that people just jump on board? And we're just two knuckleheads talking MMA. And trust me, we're knuckleheads, and trust me, we're talking MMA. So, you know, but all these sponsors just keep piling on. And I just, I can't thank these guys enough, man. It's a good time.
Well, you know, you guys are in 22 episodes now. It's a little tougher at first when people don't really know. But, I mean, at that point, even they knew – you know, yourself, London, came from a background of, 100 and whatever episodes it was you did with that, your former life, as you put it. And, you know, Matthew had some experience himself. And, you know, now that they get a chance to find out what the product's all about, you know, they're pretty willing to jump on board.
Yeah, well, you know, we're maybe knuckleheads, but I think we're decent knuckleheads, and I appreciate it. We have a good time, and we're passionate. I know at least Matt is. I'm not sure if I am 100%, but we have a good time at least now. I'm very passionate about what we do here, so I love it, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. So, so what do you got going on in Canada, like Carl? Are you done working? Are we taking a break? Are you
going to
get fired?
What
have we got?
I'm the boss, so I'm not going to be getting fired.
Excuse me.
But I am on a break, yeah, so I'm only going to be hanging here with you guys for a couple more minutes probably. And then I got to wrap up my real job, as I like to say.
Okay. Before we let you go, what kind of stuff is in store for MMA Madhouse and the different entities that we have? Why don't we get it from the boss's mouth, the horse's mouth, as they say?
That's a big question, man. We're forever growing. We got 27 Team Madhouse members now, I think. We just picked up New Jersey. We got a couple in queue for Northern California, and where the hell is the other one? Skippy told me, but I don't remember.
Old people.
What was that, Sonny?
Speak up, boy. Maybe we should have had Skippy call in instead, man. Skippy's on top of things. He doesn't let things slip. He's not quite as old as you yet, but I think he's getting up there.
I'm not 100% sure that I'm not the oldest person in this team, so I would zip your mouth over there, Matt.
I got to say, from I underestimated how old you were, only ever talking on the radio, and then when we got together last 2 weeks ago for Bellator 94, I did realize how old you truly were, and was like, wow, man, I better make these some good episodes for him. He may not have long left on this earth, so
yeah.
I didn't realize how old you actually were.
I'm not gonna lie, if you don't nudge me in the press conference, I'm sound asleep. That's all I know. I'm not sound asleep. It's freaking 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm tired.
Well, you snapped some pretty nice pictures, man. All around press conference, the fights, everything. You did a great job, man.
I appreciate that. Thank you. And I do want to say that I'm going to branch out and I'm going to start my own photography business. So if you're interested, it will be London's lovely. I got nothing for you, brother. I really got nothing.
How about?
I was wondering where you were going with that. I'm like, he's really fishing on this one. I think he's going nowhere with this. So.
You could always go. You could always go. With full guard fight photography. There you go.
Yeah, no, I'm as useless as tits in a bowl when it comes to a photographer.
you underestimate yourself. You got some good shots there, man. You really did. Oh, go ahead.
Before we let you go, real quick, one thing. Before we let you go, next week we need you to come on early. Just stop on for 5 minutes because we have to come up with. I've given us homework. We have to come up with our MMA nickname. So we have to come on because Amber Stausenberger, her name is the Apex Predator, and she's a tiny little girl, and that's a badass name for So I'm going to come up with a kick-ass name. Matt is, and I think you need to too.
He's got one. He's the madman.
That's right. I got mine.
Yeah,
speaking of nicknames, though, while you guys are on the topic of nicknames, there's a great contest going on right now at the MFC for Anthony Berchek. The nickname for Anthony Berchek, go to MFC's Facebook page and, put your submission in there. They're giving away a pair of signed MFC gloves. Clinch Custom Mouth Guards is giving away clinch guards to the winner, and the winner is going to get a Madhouse T-shirt. And that's going on right now. So, you can hit up Anthony Berchek on Twitter, Anthony Berchek MMA, or put it on Maximum Fighting Championships Facebook page. While I'm still with you guys, I want to give a shout-out to the XFC for helping us out for the next few weeks. Follow them on Twitter, at OfficialXFC. And, I'll try to join you guys next week for a bit. But at this point, I'm going to have to bail. Keep up the good work, boys.
All right, my man. Good luck.
Good luck in your next fight there, Carl.
What in the hell is the matter with me? Did I fall asleep? I mean, it is 11:30. Did I fall asleep at this freaking... What in the hell just happened there?
Carl, thanks for joining us. Stop your rambling there, London. He's got to go back to work or the boss is going to get mad at him.
I don't know what the hell just happened to me. I mean, I feel like I've been drinking all day, but I haven't been. Usually I do, but I have not been tonight.
I like to poke fun. I like to have a good time but when it comes down to business, in all seriousness, I got the utmost respect for Carl Mortensen. Since the day I first contacted him, actually, he's been nothing but great to me. If I have a problem, if I have anything, maybe I need a solution to, I can't come up with a solution on my own, I go to Carl above anybody else. And he's always got a great answer. He's always got a great way to solve any problem. And it doesn't matter where I go in my career, because this is a career for me. This is a life for me. This is what I want to spend the rest of my life doing, is covering sports, covering live events, no matter what the sport is. And it doesn't matter what level of success, if any, I do achieve. I will credit Carl Mortensen till the day I die as being one of the pivotal people at the beginning of my career. So I got the utmost respect for that guy, and he's a workhorse. It's just nonstop with him. And the same with Skippy Cohen. Those guys, you're not going to find anybody in this business or covering any sport that work as hard as the two of those guys do. So shout out to both of them. And, you know, they're the reason that MMA Madhouse is becoming a global sensation. So,
I'm not going to lie to you. This is not a suck ass fest for Carl and Skippy, but I think, because they don't need that, and I'm not trying to be rude when I say that, but they just don't need that. They don't want that, because these guys are very humble. These guys are very good dudes, are very hardworking. They're the most honest, loyal, and willing to do whatever they can do to help anybody in this game. And I couldn't have said it any better myself. I agree with you 100%. I think those two guys are thankless. They do a thankless job, and they don't do it for anything other than just the love and the enjoyment of it, and they just want to make this thing as big as they can, and I love being a part of it, and I just see huge things coming for MMA Madhouse and all its team members and all its fans and followers and everything coming up here in the very near future. And, those guys, if you ever want to be a part of anything in the MMA realm, just reach out to them, and they will be more than happy to welcome you on board with open arms. So, I mean, it's as simple as that, and they're just that good of people. So I agree 100% with you, man.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, so, I mean, we got roughly 20 minutes and change here to talk, man. I mean, let's see what's happening this week. Ultimate Fighter, man. Uriah Hall yet again, just tearing it up. I don't know if you got to watch it. Did you get to see the episode yet?
I didn't want to ruin the fight for you
if you hadn't seen it yet. So since No,
it's funny because my wife, she's the one that's always like, come on, we got to watch the Ultimate Fighter. So it's kind of funny that she's the one. But, I definitely saw the fight. So go ahead.
Yeah, man. Okay, so this guy has shown, from the beginning of the season, Uriah Hall has been, he's been feared. Nobody wants to fight this guy. The people that have fought him, they say they feel good against him. But let's be honest. When you watch what he's done to his opponents, do you want to step in the cage with that guy? I don't want to step in the county with that guy. And sure enough, he got in there. And the first round, it looked like Dillon Andrews was a statue. I think he threw a couple punches, but he kind of just stood there. Uriah picked him apart, busted him up real bad. They go out to the second round. Dillon gets a takedown, takes him down, and then Uriah TKOs him from the bottom. He TKOs him from guard. Like, who does that? Who gets TKO'd while they're in somebody's guard? Well, you're in guard, you typically have a pretty good position. You're in great shape, and as long as you're doing the right things, you're not going to get hurt. But he was so picked apart and just kind of torn down at that point that Uriah Hall was able to finish him right there from guard, and it was just a phenomenal finish, I think. And it's shaping up. It's going to be a phenomenal finale because Kelvin Gastelum is just a great fighter himself. He's like a dark horse. He's like this young guy that could come in, and he could take out Uriah. But it's going to be a great fight. It's going to be a great card. Misha Tate, Kat Zingano, it's going to be a great fight. But, yeah, man, I don't. What was your take on the Uriah Hall and Dillon Andrews fight?
I got to be honest. I think we talked a while ago, and I don't remember, and I'm sorry that's going to get away from me, but we talked a while ago to a fighter, and I asked him specifically, do you know when you have broken somebody? That one point where you can look at them across the cage, or you know when you've got them in a takedown or whatever, that you know you have them broken. And I really feel that a lot of these guys who are in this, you know, the Ultimate Fighter house with Uriah Hall, he has them broken before he even gets in the cage with them. I really feel that way. I really feel like they're very intimidated by him, that they're concerned. They've seen what he's done. They can say all they want that they're not intimidated, they're not scared, they're not whatever, they're fighters, whatever. They can say all that. They're human beings, too, and they know that he's a bad dude and that he's done some nasty things to people and left him kind of, you know, for naught, just kind of laying there, looking up at the ceiling. And no matter who you are, whether you're a fighter or you're not, you don't want to be knocked out. You don't want to not remember the last 10 minutes of your life. I think they are broken before they even get in the cage. And I don't think anybody in that house right now stops Uriah Hall from winning that Ultimate Fighter. I think he's going to go on to have a great career in the UFC. I think we could be talking about Uriah Hall as a champion in the very near future. So I just don't think any one of them holds a candle to him. So that's my take on it.
Yeah. Now, hear me out here. Now, let me start by saying Anderson Silva is the number one pound-for-pound best fighter on the planet. I don't think there's a single fighter that's even near his level. I think, respectively, GSP is probably the closest fighter to Anderson Silva as far as that skill level. And even that in a fight, and that's a super fight that's been heavily talked about recently. And even in that fight, I still think Anderson could probably pick him apart and finish him. And that's being said as a huge fan of both of those fighters. I'm a huge Anderson and GSP fan. But back to my original point, there's no one that comes close to Anderson Silva. Now, saying that, I think Uriah Hall is stylistically, physically, a great matchup to Anderson Silva. Now, in a fight, would it be a close fight? Would it be a good fight? I'm not saying that because Uriah is a 7-2 guy, very inexperienced, a very young fighter. Anderson is some like 37-4, 36-4, something like that, and has fought who's who, has fought everywhere you could think of, and is the absolute number one best fighter on this planet. So I'm not saying it would be a great fight, it would be an even fight, Uriah Hall would stand a chance. I think stylistically and physically, they match up wonderfully.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I was sitting here. I thought you were going to say more. I agree. I don't think we're talking about Uriah Hall tomorrow. Is a champion, obviously. Anderson Silva is by far the greatest fighter. I mean, his striking is just out of this world. GSP may be the pound-for-pound best fighter in the world overall. I think we're talking near future. I don't think we're talking tomorrow's future. I think, you know,
yeah.
I think Uriah Hall really has an incredible future. And I don't think there's anybody in this business that's going to really stand in his way if he realizes his true potential. And I think we're talking about it for years to come that he may be one of the best to ever do it. You know, I mean the kid's just out of this world. I mean, you said it best. How do you finish somebody from the bottom? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it looked easy for him too. It wasn't like he was working extremely hard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The kid is just strong. He's so knowledgeable. He's just, you know, I don't know how many adjectives I can throw out about this kid. I mean, he's fun to watch. He's explosive, obviously. He's got a great heart because you can see that he doesn't want to hurt people. He really doesn't. He wants to win and finish.
You can see every time he's finished one of his opponents, he looks truly sad. He looks truly saddened about the fact that that person may be hurt, because, you know, he wants to get his job done. He's a fighter, and he wants to be the best, but you can see the compassion in his eyes. You know, when he finished Adam Cella, and Adam Cella, you know, in all honesty, kind of looked like he was dead or in a going to be paralyzed or something. And then Bubba McDaniel went down, and his face, his eye socket, that side of his head was severely damaged. He looks truly saddened and genuine about the fact that he doesn't want them to be hurt, but, you know, he's got a job to do. And
let me
doing
say something about that Bubba McDaniel fight. I'm sorry to cut you off. Let me tell you something.
No, that's okay. That's all good.
He didn't want to fight that fight for minute one. He wanted to get out of that fight, and I'm sorry. My wife brought it up. She's like, he doesn't want to fight this fight at all. He is looking for any way for them to say to him, you know, you don't have to fight. The doctor says no. And, you know, Jones gave him some outs. Jones let him get out. He did what he thought he needed to do. He went in there and fought a very, you know, I mean, it was very quick. It was over so fast, you know, very fast, but he didn't want to be there. I mean, it was like he was kind of going through the motions from minute one for all week, well, leading up to the fight anyway. I don't know how long that really is, but, you know, it just, he had no business being there. He could have got himself more hurt than just that eye socket. So, I don't know. That's just my take on that. I don't know. Maybe I'm just, you know, I don't have no business talking about it, but that's just how I feel about that. And, you know, it just seems like Bubba was more worried about looking good. Not, you know, I'm not saying physically,
yeah,
but just kind of
saving face.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Then we want to be in there to fight. So that's my take.
Yeah. So actually, here's another big issue that I can't believe I almost forgot about. And I know we're kind of jumping all over the place, but you know, if anybody out there listening, this is our show, and hey, we'll talk about whatever we want, right?
That's right.
talking about Fallon Fox, which has been an ongoing issue, and we've actually mentioned a few times now, there's some big news regarding a couple fighters coming out and giving their opinion on her this week, big-time fighters. First of all, we'll start with Matt Mitrione. I don't know if you heard about what Matt Mitrione said.
I absolutely did.
Matt Mitrione had some I'm not even going to read it back. Very demeaning and very disrespectful and just classless what he had to say. Do I agree with the Fallon Fox issue? No, I don't. But never in a million years would I come out and say something as disrespectful and classless as what he said. And rightfully so, he was suspended. He was suspended indefinitely for that. And I want to say a day or two ago, Ronda Rousey came out saying similar stuff, not as graphic or not as demeaning, but basically backed Matt Mitrione on what he said, agree with what he said, and had her own things to say. Now, my question, I know you already want to say something. My question to you is, Matt Mitrione is suspended indefinitely by the UFC. Now, how long that will be, who knows, but he's suspended indefinitely. Now, with Ronda Rousey coming out and saying she agrees with Mitrione and giving her own opinion on the matter, will the right thing be done here in that she should be suspended as well like him, or will she get special star treatment because she's the top female fighter in the world right now?
A couple things. I'm not sure. I think Mitrione could have chosen some different verbiage. I think, to be honest with you, I'm not sure, and I'm speaking totally out of turn here. I don't know this to be fact. I want to say Matt Mitrione was, whether he was drunk, drinking something, because he's a funny guy. He doesn't strike me as that kind of guy. And I don't know if he, you know, he was put over to do this or whatever, but something doesn't sit right with me that he, for him saying that stuff, because he's not that kind of guy from everything I've heard of Matt Mitrione. From what I've heard, he seems to be a pretty legit, genuine kind of guy. That being said, he definitely said some very unflattering things, some very ignorant things. And you know, Meathead, he is a meathead. He's a knucklehead. He's funny. He's goofy. But I mean, some of that stuff wasn't called for. You know, you don't call her despicable. You don't call her, you know, some of the names he was calling are just, you know, stuff we're not going to repeat. But to answer your question, absolutely not. Ronda Rousey does not get suspended. Ronda Rousey is the face of I mean, she made Dana White a lot of money, you know, by fighting in that recent pay-per-view. So there is no way that Dana White, you know, kicks his gift horse in the mouth and, you know, suspends her. Is she going to be reprimanded? Is she going to be talked to, finger quotes, talked to in an open forum? And Dana's going to come out in finger quotes and get lambasted her about it? Of course he's going to. He's going to have to. But there is, I mean, we would just be sitting here, I mean, we would just be lying to ourselves and to each other if we thought that she was going to be suspended like Matt Mitrione. I think, and I'm not even going to, again, this is not, please don't take this as gospel, but I wouldn't be surprised if Matt Mitrione, his contract gets terminated because of what happened and what was said. And I think that's a disservice. I think, you know, Mitrione, again, he's a colorful guy, and I think he just kind of stepped on the line and got caught up in the moment. And, you know, he said some stuff, some regretful stuff. But there is no way on this earth that Ronda Rousey gets suspended.
Now, and see, I have a problem with that. And I understand everything that you just said because it's exactly right. You know, she is the face of women's MMA right now for the casual fan, for the you know, people who don't really follow women's MMA or haven't given it a you know, paying it any attention, which, you know, that's their loss on. But she's the face. But I mean, and I've been open all along about the fact that I do not support the fact that Fallon Fox is going to be fighting women. But I don't think I would hope I have never in any way disrespected her, or said anything even close to the nature of what Mitrione said. And I get the fact that, you know, he's a meathead and likes to be a funny guy, but this goes back to an issue that I have that transcends across sports, across all the sports, not just MMA. You are a professional athlete. At all times, you need to carry yourself as a professional athlete, whether it's and screw the media, screw the press, you know, the paparazzi and what they think. You're a professional athlete. There are kids that look up to you. There are possible future athletes that could be scorned or uplifted by the things that you say because of the stage that you've been given and the platform that you have as that professional athlete. So at all times, you need to have the right mindset in order to carry yourself more respectful. And if you disagree on something, if you disagree with how something is being done, or for example, this situation here where you disagree with you disagree with Fallon Fox fighting in women's MMA, I mean, there's a million better ways to word it than the way he did it. And even Ronda Rousey has got to know the hardships that she's faced being a women fighter. You know, even though the UFC is now featuring women's MMA, by many, women's MMA is still not looked upon as serious. People still think of it as a joke, and they're wrong. I think women's MMA has amazing things to offer. Some of the best fighters on this planet are female, and we've talked to a bunch of them. You know, we're talking to Amber tonight, talked to Shannon last week. We've talked to Hurricane Heather Clark in the past. You know, on and on, the fighters we've talked to. We've talked to Alana Jones, who's going to be fighting Fallon Fox. It just, as that professional athlete with that stage before you, you have to think before you act. You have to. And I think that it's a shame that whatever Mitrione's like as a person, it's a shame that this is going to be probably what he's remembered by. You know, he's had some great fights, been a good fighter, but it's stuff like this that sticks in people's mind. It's not the fact that you are 9-4 as a fighter, or you're 12-5, or, you know, blah, 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 whatever your record may be. It's stuff like this that really sticks in people's minds, and it's stuff like this that could turn someone away. You know, someone growing up, you know, as a kid, I looked up to Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was the ultimate athlete to me, the absolute best in the world. And Michael had his faults. Michael had run-ins with different things, whether it was gambling or whatever it was, but he acknowledged those faults. He represented himself as a complete professional at all times, and took ownership of when he had faults. But because of that, still to this day, I look up to Michael Jordan. I, until the day I die, I'm probably going to be I'm going to be a lifelong Jordan fan, and that goes the same for these some other kids growing up. I'm going crazy long winded here, and we're pretty much running out of time because of me. But I mean, to cut it short, you're a professional athlete. You have to be careful and be very mindful of the things that you say and do.
Well, here's my feeling on that. And, you know, I know we are running out of time, but I really feel like we're still human beings. I understand that, you know, you need to be mindful of who says what and where you say it and how you say it. But, and, you know, you can't, like I said earlier, I'm not here to take money out of anybody's pocket. I think everybody has the right to work. But I don't feel like we should be, I feel like Matt Mitchell should be reprimanded. I don't feel like he needs to be exiled and in into the abyss. You know, I think he made a mistake, and I think if he owns up to that mistake, he still is a human being. He still has the right to freedom of speech. I think the platform that he uses needs to be protected, because that's, you know, they pay a lot more fighters than just Matt Mitrione. But, you know, I think he still has an opportunity and the right to speak kind of freely, not ignorantly. You know, we battle every day. One of my best friends is black, and he every day he battles, you know, being called the N-word and whatever. And it's 2013, man. You know, I mean, you know, slavery and the color of a man's skin should have died years ago. But it doesn't happen that way. You know, every day he gets called, you know, I mean, he gets called the N-word, and he gets, you know, go back to Africa, you porch monkey, stuff like that. It's, but, you know, do those people have a right to say that? Absolutely. Are they ignorant? Absolutely. You know, so I just think it's really, really a touchy situation, and it kind of affects the one half a dozen of the other. I understand what you're saying, and I respect it, but in the long run, you know, this country was built on, you know, freedom of speech and you know, the Constitution of human rights, and I think, you know, and I'm, by no means am I condoning what Mitch Rowan said, but I am going to support the fact that he has a right to say what he wants to say. I think he was ignorant when he said it. But, you know, I just think we, instead of hiding behind the 800-pound elephant in the room, I think we need to address, you know, some people's ignorances in this world. And, you know, I think we'd be better off and not have to hide behind, you know, well, you can't say that because this may offend this group of people, when in actuality that one person is just ignorant, and we should just look at it for him being ignorant. So
yeah.
I guess on that, we'll wrap up tonight. Another great show, but why don't you take us out of here?
Yeah, man. Real quick, I agree with that, man. It's freedom of speech. He had the right to say it. He shouldn't have said it like that, but he did have the right to say it. So with that said, man, you know, we never have enough time here. I think we could probably just chit-chat and talk all night. But we'll have to pick it up next week, and we'll have some more great interviews next week, some great guests next week, as we always do, and you know, look forward to being back with you next Thursday night, man, for another episode of Full Guard Fight Radio. Once again, we want to thank our guest tonight, man, Matt Gary from the All Sports Arena and ASA MMA, Shamar Bailey, check him out, shamarbailey.net, and the Apex Predator, Amber Stotzenberger. Thank you very much for joining us, each one of you guys, and we'll see you guys next week. Thanks again to all of our sponsors. ProAmBelts.com, Crosswater Clothing, Game Changer Clothing, and Draco Sports, GatorMermaid.com. Check them out. Thank you very much. Next week.
We make it rock!
Okay, people, time to disperse. Party's over.